This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. Seth Levitt is here. OJ Juice McDuffie is in the house. I am Travis Winkfield. And Juice, the Dolphins roll to their fifth straight win. It's their best start through 11 games since 2001. But I don't know if you would know that based upon the way we kind of heard the rumblings in the crowd, the way this game played out in the second half. What's your takeaway from a game like this, Juice?
Well, you know, obviously an incredible start, you know, and that's one of the things you worry about coming off a bye week, how well your team is going to react, because sometimes they're still on bye week. And this team was not. They were not on bye week. And, you know, you worried about going into the Browns game, getting ready for a bye week, and they weren't looking ahead. And you worry about them coming out of a bye week and how they'll be they're still on Thanksgiving break, you know, as well as bye week break, and they weren't. Biggest thing about it, though, is still got to finish games, man. You know, no doubt we got the win that we're supposed to get. But at the same time, though, you know, you like to be able to put teams away like that a little earlier, and you'd like to be able to get the other guys in the game and still be able to move the football and be able to make plays. So once they turn that car off, though, Travis, you know, especially like I'm an Ohio kid, once we turn that car off in the wintertime, it's hard to crank it back up. You know what I mean? It's hard to crank it back up. And that was the problem today. We couldn't get it going again. We couldn't crank it back up. It's hard to get yourself mentally and physically back in the game when you're up 30 points. And for a while there, we couldn't stop the bleeding. Thank goodness that we made some plays at the end. Offense did absolutely nothing in the second half, but defense made enough plays at the end to win it. But, damn, man, you can't do that to yourselves. You got to be able to go out there and bury teams. You know, it's still a two-score game at the end of that, and they had the opportunities late in the half. You know, we've been in that situation ourselves as a team, and we've been able to come back from those situations. So we should know better than to rest on our laurels in the first half, because we've been in a situation where we've been up a lot or down a lot and been able to come back and win. We know that, obviously, Houston doesn't have the same firepower that we have, but still, though, man, we got to be able to close games on both sides. You know, all facets have to be able to close that game out, and we didn't do that today. A win, obviously, is great. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bellyache about, you know, you know what I mean, a 15-point win. But at the same time, though, better teams will come back, and it might bite us in the butt.
Yeah, you get 30 points in the first half from the offense, and the defense obviously scored as well and put you on the two-yard line for one of those other drives. So really the defense got after it in a big way in that first half. But then, you know, I think McDaniel had mentioned this at the Baltimore game, like, don't look at the scoreboard. Let's just go out there and put points up there and just try to get some stuff going offensively, and then we'll look at the scoreboard at the end of the game. And they wind up coming back and winning that game in dramatic fashion. But I think the Texans will take this second half to the airplane ride, and they'll feel good about it, like that they competed and they didn't, you know, go
home. Some guys will.
Yeah, sure. The coaching staff has something.
Yeah, most of them, most of them shouldn't. They, you know, there's no participation.
They won 9-1. I don't know what you're feeling
good about. No moral victories, you know, but, yeah, I hear you, though.
Just I remember being on are many blowouts on the other side where it's like, guys, just go out there and compete and try to win this half. And if you do, that's great. And if we get back into the game in general, that's even better. But I did want to go back to you, Juice, for this perspective of, because, you know, me and Seth were up in the press box listening to all the ideas about, are they going to pull guys? Should Tua come out of the game early in that first half when the game was a runaway? You know, and on Twitter as well, right, Seth? I mean, people were talking about who needs to come out of the game, who you got to keep healthy and get rested. But I'm curious, take us onto the sideline when something like that's going on, because obviously you only have 53 guys you dress and you have so many guys inactive, so you can't pull everybody. What's the thought on the sideline in a game where it's a runaway, it's probably concluded as far as the final score goes, you know, pretty well in hand. What's your perspective on the sideline? Are you thinking about, can I get some reps off? Do I want to, like, what's a player thinking during all that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, look, you really need to, you need to pound guys all the way to the fourth quarter. You know, you gotta pound to the fourth quarter, in my opinion. If anybody was talking about taking time off, you know, the first half and we're up 30, that's always a big problem. Look, the Houston Texans get paid as well. You don't think they have a little bit of pride about themselves in that locker room, and don't think that they didn't go in there like we went into the Baltimore halftime with the same attitude. Go out there and make some plays and see what happens. And that's what they did. They went out there and they made some plays and see what happened, man. You cannot ever, you know, think about resting guys, you know, at this level. I get it if you're playing. If this is college ball, that's one thing. But then these guys are pros, you know, and they've got a pride about themselves. You rest a couple guys if you want, but you can't rest a whole, you know, group of guys. You know, we saw at the end, you know, still Tyreek and Waddle and all those guys are still playing. Because you want to get Skyler some guys that actually can play out there. Sure. You don't want to just go out there with a bunch of guys that don't usually play. But we love our wide receiver crew no matter what. But I'm telling you, man, that's always a bad idea to try to rest guys until you get into that fourth quarter in a comfortable lead.
And that's kind of what we saw play out there at the end. It looks like the Texans are going to have a chance to come back into the game there late, Seth. But at the end, it came down to what it was early in the first part of the game, right? The defense just kept coming after that quarterback. Relentless pressure from the pass rusher, secondary getting their hands on footballs. You have to love what you see from the defense today, especially up front.
Yeah, for sure. I know people got a little frustrated when the Texans did start to move the ball a little bit. But, the whole strategy changes by the defense at that point, because one play is not going to beat you, and you're giving them yards, and you're trying to run clock and all of those things, and I think that has to be taken into perspective. But it was just a strange game. I think you do have to, like Juice alluded to, you got to think big picture here. You got to look at the fact that you're 8-3 going into this final stretch here of the season. But again, you cannot play this way against some of these teams that you have coming up, because they're just, you know, the Texans, this is a down year for them. The record says as much. You saw that performance on the field, and they're just not going to be able to play this way. And it almost, you know, there was a lot of talk about, man, did the bye week come at the wrong time? Right. You know, this team was rolling for four straight weeks. I mean, they were so efficient on offense. They're scoring a ton of points, just looking like world beaters. And it's like, do you want to stop that momentum? And it shouldn't have an impact. But the reality is, you know, you get some rest. This almost looked like a season opener where they're learning a new offense. You had some miscues. It's a little weird to say that they didn't look sharp when they were moving the ball up and down the field. But, you know, we're so spoiled by Tua's accuracy. We're so spoiled by 180-yard games by Tyreek Hill and all those things, which is wonderful to a position to be in, that you kind of expect more, which, again, is great. And I think that they didn't play as well as they could have today. And maybe that's the frustration that you sense from some of the fans. I think booing an 8-3 team at home,
that was rough.
That's up by 30.
That's brutal, man.
I think that's a little loss of perspective.
We're definitely
there.
Better than that, man.
That was surprising to me. I mean, you know, for all that this fan base has been through over the years, to have a team that is delivering what they're delivering thus far this season with so much, which I think they're going to create more memories as the season's going to go on, to boo the guys. They doubled up their opponent's score. You know, like, as inefficient or all these things, you know, Tua had, right, his least efficient game, and it was a 90-something passer rating. So we need to keep that in perspective. Don't boo your guys when you're up 30.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Especially our guys. Look where we're at. You're talking about, we're 8-3.
That's my point.
Yeah, don't come on. This guy's been balling, man. Don't do that to these guys, man. That's ungrateful right there, man. 5 in a row, still winning. That's bad. Is it fanship a word? It is now. Fanship.
It's bad juju for sure. It was the third time all year that a team scored 30 points in the opening half of a game, right, Seth? It was two other games.
According to Brett Kreisen, who I trust.
It's firing off. On point, man. Always on point.
Right, his Twitter account is on fire right now,
he's
by the way.
Getting hotter this season, too, I think. I think the 8-3 mark will do that for
you. Well,
you
give him a little bit more to work with, right? Start breaking some damn records, and Brett's going to deal.
But it's funny you mentioned a 30-0 start for the Dolphins, because it felt like it could have been, I don't know, close to the 50s, like at least a 40-burger, because you had that opening drive where they had the hold that knocked him out of the red zone. They wind
couple
up
drops,
a couple of drop passes, a couple of misfired throws, like you mentioned. Like, you know, for Tua, he misses two or three throws. It's like, what's going on with Tua Tagovailoa, which kind of gives you a perspective on where he's come as far as, you know, how good of a player he is. Yeah. But I thought 14 incomplete passes was – that has to be a career high for him. I'm not sure if it is, but it has to be up there. And Seth and I were getting all fired up on one of those first half trips inside the 10-yard line, because we were talking about the goal-to-go numbers this year. The Dolphins have only failed to score touchdowns on two trips inside the 10-yard line this year. We saw one of those today. So it felt like even juice in a game where it's 30-0 at halftime, it could have been way more.
Yeah, definitely left some meat in the bone.
Are we spoiled, too? Have we gotten spoiled? Is that what's going on?
Well, you know what? Because we've seen this team, you know, for the last few weeks, just go out there and we are 1,000% spoiled. You know, we talk about it a lot, man. We talk about it in spaces. We talk about how comfortable we are. We talk about how we can score whenever we want. And then when we don't score, we're like, well, what's going on here?
Right.
Well, what do you mean? What's going on with
this
team?
We only got 30. What do you mean we only got 30? Again, what are you talking about? You know what? Here's a perfect way to say it. And I got to give some credit to our guy, Jason Sarney. He was down here. He was covering the game in the press box. Got to see him a couple times. And here's his tweet. And he nailed it right here. We could nitpick today. I won't. First half was great. A win, an 8-3. Big road test coming up.
Nailed it.
So there it is.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
That is great.
Thank you, Sarney, for a little perspective.
And we're going to go ahead and give Sarney the last word here in the opening, because it's time to go to break right now. We'll come back and get to more, including head coach Mike McDaniel, quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. 2 hours for you guys here on the postgame show. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the fifth quarter post. Game show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Dolphins win this game, their fifth straight. They are 8-3 and back atop the AFC East, taking over the Buffalo Bills, who won on Thanksgiving Day. And a large part of that comes from this Dolphins receiving core, who's getting really the ball spread around throughout the course of the entire core. But today, we're going to go ahead and talk about our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall. He was tied for the team lead in receiving today, 5 for 85. Our player of the game, Jalen Waddle, who went up and pulled down a contested catch in this game.
Ingold and Wilson, eye formation. Play action fake, back to throw, looking deep downfield again. And oh my goodness, what a catch by Jalen Waddle. It almost slipped through and he caught it with his legs, Joe.
5'10", he goes up and gets it. Probably don't talk enough about our guys on the outside, but boy, blocks it out, goes up, catches it with his hands.
And out jumped MJ Stewart.
And out jumps, boy, that's just a nice effort.
A 34-yard pickup.
And we know about the speed of Jalen Waddle, but he really shows you a little bit of everything every week. They're going up over the defender to pull down that high ball. Almost pulled in a second one later in the game as well. Seth, what was the stat? He is now the all-time leader in something for the first 2 years.
I think reception yards in his first 2 years there surpasses Jarvis Landry. So, you know, if you, again, a perspective game here, when the trade was made and the double trade and you draft Jalen Waddle and whoa, Kyle Pitts and, oh, they should have stayed at three and everything else. Boy, oh, boy, am I glad that Jalen Waddle's a member of this football team. Broke an all-time record for rookie receptions in his first year. He's, you know, look, Tyreek Hill, all world. But having both of those guys as a threat, we see what that's turned this offense into. And had a chance to make a few other big plays, but that was a great one. Made some other big plays down the field. He has to be respected, and he's been as productive as any receiver in the history of this team in his first 2 years, including this great one we've got sitting next to us.
Damn, yep, right. My first 2 years, I didn't sniff the field, so he's much better. He's getting more.
Like I said, he's been as productive as
Yeah, man, he's definitely special, man. And you know what? He's embraced, you know, everything that comes along with having a great receiver opposite of him, like Tyreek Hill, and he takes advantage of his opportunity. I was loving the fact that, you know, I was looking at the beginning of the game, and you know how we talk about scripts at the beginning of the game, and the first person they targeted at the beginning was Jalen Waddle. You know, then they went to Tyreek. Then they went to, you know, then they went to Jeff Wilson, you know. So they tried to get everybody involved right away. But I love the fact that the first play that was called for, whose number was dialed up, was Jalen Waddle, and trying to get him involved. We know we can get Tyreek involved, you know, pretty much any time we want. But getting Jalen going early, you know, it's always key, man, and it carried out throughout the rest of the game, trying to get him involved.
He continues to make so many plays down the field. I mean, he had 17 yards per catch today. I think that might even be lower than his season total coming
just
into
under,
the game.
Yeah, I think so.
He's right around like 18, something crazy like that. Yeah. But you wind up having 11 catches for, oh, geez, Seth, I'm going to do math here live on the air, 170 yards. I think I got that right, actually. 11 catches for 170 for those two guys. But really, I mean, you can talk about Tyreek and Jalen, and we can continue doing that with our key player of the game here. But, man, the entire receiving core, Juice mentioned it, how they spread the football around to the entire room. And it was a Trent Sherfield conversion on the first touchdown drive of the game, where Tua clearly wanted to go towards the side of Tyreek and then came back to Jalen. And then he comes to his third progression, it looked like to me at least, and he finds Sherfield for a tough catch where he takes a big hit and goes to the ground. And I'm just thinking to myself that whole time, Juice, that, you know, having those reliable guys that they're going to be where you need them to be, and they're going to make tough catches in those tight windows. To me, like, that might be one of the biggest unsung things of this entire football team, is the back part of that receiving core really supporting Tyreek and Jalen to give you a full complement at that position.
Yeah, you really can't. You can't rest, you know. And even in downs, you see we've got, you know, Craycraft in with Sherfield, you know. A lot of teams think, oh, watch the run. No, not this team, man. We have so much confidence in our guys that can go out there and they can go out there and make plays like Sherfield, man. And tough, talk about a tough catch, you know, in traffic. all these guys are tasked to catch the ball in traffic. That's just the way it is. With play action pass over the middle looks, all these guys have to know that they're going to get the ball over the middle and be ready for a shot, you know. And hopefully, like, most of the time, Tua will protect them. Sherfield's that tough guy, man. He's a tough receiver. He's sure-handed. You know, when the opportunities come his way, man, he takes advantage of them. And the coaching staff trusts him. More importantly, his number one trusts him.
You talked about it, Seth, off the top with, you know, not winding up with anybody else besides Jalen Waddle with the sixth pick in the draft a couple of years ago after moving back. And, you know, you look at the receivers room. We talked about it on the air here a lot last year about how this receivers room is missing something and needs some more juice. And they pretty much went to work and just remade the entire room. And, again, off the top, you love Waddle, you love Hill. It's obvious what those two guys bring to you. But, man, tip of the cap to Chris Greer for finding, in my opinion, Big Seth, I don't know if you guys agree, a 1-5 that really suits what Tua does well just across the board.
Yeah, I mean, how could you disagree with that after seeing what's happening this year? And, you know, one, are you starting one with Mike McDaniel as well? I mean, you know,
crazy,
listen, you can't exclude finding the right coach for this team and this quarterback as well. So, no, I'm with you. Jalen Waddle is an exciting player. You know, I always said he walked in the stadium with a game ball from O.J. McDuffie every game last week, and he had to kind of earn losing that game ball. And I feel like the same could be said this year, even though I know you've gone defense a little bit more this year.
Yeah,
but he's
know.
Look at his
– He sounds upset about it.
Seriously, look at his production so far this year. If it wasn't – I don't even want to say overshadowed, but if Tyreek Hill wasn't so spectacular, literally putting up historical numbers, you would be talking about this being one of the top receivers in the league. And you still are, but it's just that other guy on the other side is kind of a freak of nature. He's a heck of a player, and it was a great decision.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you what else I love about Jalen Waddle. You know, we were down on the field today on pregame, you know, watching the guys warm up. Jalen took a football, and he threw the rock for about 7-8 minutes with the kids in the stands.
Love it.
You Can't
know what
beat I mean? That.
He was like, you know, and every kid, they absolutely loved it, man. There were some kids, you know, that, you know, big Dolphins, but there might be some kids that were on the fence. I think today they might be more Dolphins because of that one-on-one interaction, man, and just taking pictures and, you know, and having a good time out there for pregame. Then he got focused, you know, when all the rest of the team came out, man. So, you know, the guys embrace this role, you know, no matter what it is, in the community, on the football field, with another dynamic receiver with him, but also with the fans, man. So, Jalen Waddle, one hell of a pick for us, man, no doubt. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I say this all the time. If Jalen Waddle doesn't get hurt his last year at Alabama, we don't get him.
That's right.
He's already going off the board, man. So, you know, blessings to us. I feel bad for him, but blessings for us, you know.
It worked out pretty well to get Tua as one of his top targets there in college. And really, you know, that foursome of Alabama receivers that came out between he, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs, it's pretty clear cut who the top dog is from that group. And he's here in Miami with the Miami Dolphins. So you love to see that. And you love to see the way this offense is cooking right now, man. It's 30 points and what is it, four straight games now?
Yeah, you know, and that's something that, you know, you talked about it though, man. We probably should have had more points today. You know, but at 30 by halftime, it's like something you haven't seen either. So that
you have to give the defense some credit. I mean, they actually scored 7 of those points, or, you know, I guess 6, but 7 of those points, and put you in a position for the other 7. So, I mean, you know, you like to see a complete performance. That was complimentary football in the first half because the defense did their part. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. I'm seeing all these groups of people on the field, and I can't speak for all of them, but I know you're talking about guys who are making an impact in the community. Zach Sealer has a group of seminal tribal youth that came to the game today. It's Native American Heritage Month. November is Native American Heritage Month. You know, our friends in the Seminole Tribe do so much here in the community, and it was really cool to see the Sealer Family Foundation give back to some tribal youth, and I know he's got a group of them down there.
Did you find them?
So, well, I see there's a group down here, but there's also a large group there on the northeast corner, so I haven't figured out that. Oh, there's 3 groups. Step to specials. So, yeah.
Whoa, a big group over here.
There's a lot of cool stuff happening on the field. I know that's not what people are tuning in for, but I had to give a shout out at least to
Zach. If they come to the stadium, they
doing.
Might be able to get on the field, Big Seth. I don't know.
It's a good thing you brought the big binoculars to get the search out there for the Zach Sealer.
So, you know, just going off the rails here, Wingfield pulls out, first time I ever saw him, he pulls out a pair of binoculars today. And you ever go to the theater, Juice, and you see the little old lady who's got the box seat. She's the rich little old lady, and she's almost got like a monocle that she's looking out of her. So he has these theater, that highbrow theater, tiny little binoculars, and that's what he brought to the game today. I guess his eyes are just better than mine.
Oh,
those are not for a sporting event. They're just not.
I had a monocular at one game, and I got rid of it because everybody was talking about me so bad. So yeah, you gotta. I got an Amazon credit. I'll get you. I got you.
My man, I need it because I get a lot of trash talk for these damn things, especially during training camp when I'm out there trying to get all my notes taken and all that stuff. Who's that over there on the far field breaking up tackles over there? It's a good looking player, but I can't see who it is because my tiny binoculars. But
you know, times five when you already said times 30. Yeah, you know, you need at least times 15.
That's exactly right. To bring this all back together to talk about, you know, what the players do in the community. There was a couple weeks ago, Jalen Waddle was doing something in the lobby at the facility where he was FaceTiming with a young fan and he was doing the Waddle, teaching him how to do it. So just more of that stuff talk about. And I actually went to the team store the other day. You guys know I go to Joe Chimio and get my hookups down in the equipment room, but I saw they had a T-shirt with Jalen Waddle, the caricature, doing the Waddle, and I was like, I gotta have me one of those. So I went and bought that myself, so made my purchase there with a.
See, you left the training room. You actually went in the pocket one time.
I had to do it. Throw a little bit of money at it. Why not? Let's get it. Oh, it makes me look good with the Waddle dance.
Equipment room. I said training room.
Training room. Either way, it works.
Yeah, no doubt.
So that was your key player of the game, Jalen Waddle, sponsored by Ed Morse. Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall backs every vehicle they sell, because if it has their name on it, you have their word on it. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the quarterback play in this game. We talked a little bit about him in the last segment there talking about the receivers, but we haven't really gotten yet to Tua Tagovailoa's 22 for 36, 299-yard day with one touchdown and 96.9 passer rating. And Big Seth, I know that 299 number really bothers you, man. Just kind of sitting there waiting for that extra yard to come in to give him the 300-yard day.
It did. I thought he deserves a bad word to use here, but I thought that he could have earned a 300-yard day, and then the protection just kind of fell apart there those last two drives.
Those sacks take him off of that, right?
That counts against the team's passing total, but not the individuals.
Got it.
But he, there were plenty of opportunities there for Tua to get one of the – he only needed a yard, Juice. I feel like he could have gotten it, but it's tough to do from your back. So, yeah, but I – again, just a weird kind of interesting day that, you know, if your quarterback can complete more than 60% of his passes, have a passer rating over 96, almost 97, and not throw any interceptions again for what? He's got a set of Dolphins record, 174, I think now. He's up to 174 pass attempts without an interception, Juice. It's hard to be disappointed with the performance, but I think it does speak to how elite the level of his play has been thus far this season.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if we're going to judge him by wins and losses, he's started and finished eight games this year, and they've won all eight of them.
Yeah, they really have, man. I mean, you look at some of that too, Seth. We could have gotten over – we had a few drops today. And I always got to get on my boys when we put the ball on the ground, man. We get opportunities out there.
Yeah.
You know, anytime the ball's in our area, we got to bring them down. High, low, wide, left, right. You know what I mean? We got to bring them down. And when you get two hands on them, you definitely got to bring them down. So we could have easily gotten over that 300-yard threshold, you know, that we're talking about. But, man, you know, and some of that, honestly, led to less points. Stop drive.
100%.
You know, and that's what they do. We always talk about how good our crew is. Today's one of the days that I thought they could have played better for our quarterback. You know, our quarterback could have played better for them. But here we go again, talking about we got 30 points, but we're still talking about how we can get better, and that's a good thing. All correctable stuff, all kind of physical, mental stuff, and I think that's going to be – it's going to bode well. I think a game like this at the end of the day is going to bode well for us because we're going to realize we can't just – don't stop reading our press clippings.
Yep.
Stop listening to what the rest of the country is talking about our team. Stop thinking that
point.
We play against the Texans and we get up 30 and we can sit back and we're that good. This is a great example and a great learning lesson for our team to know that they got to keep keep the foot on the gas, man.
It's a good way to get a kick in the butt, right? You 1,000%. Still get to lead 8-3, but not, you know, I don't know
how many people are feeling as good about this
they
win.
They can't
today?
Be. Exactly. There's no way they can't be. And it was interesting because during the week, Mike McDaniel said that. You know, how do you keep your team focused when you're playing this well and you're playing a team that comes in at 1-8-1 and it? And he was almost like offended by the question. Yeah. Like, you know, listen, you let your guard down and you're going to get beat. That happens to teams every league, and we don't want to learn that lesson. And they didn't necessarily learn it. But I think they probably did learn something on the way out. So that's a great point. It'll be interesting to see how they respond next week.
Not to mention coming into the week, he also had a comment, and Juice kind of alluded to this earlier. You know, we got all the families down here and stuff on the field, talking about how for Thanksgiving week, you typically have a lot more family in town. So there's a lot more outside distractions going on. Obviously, Thursday's probably a unique day as far as your practice schedule goes. I assume they get maybe some more time. The Texans practice report said they didn't even practice at all on Thursday, so they got the whole day off for the holiday. Miami did practice on Thursday, so that wasn't the case down here, but it is interesting for them to be able to come out in a week where, you know, I suppose distraction should be at an all-time high because of the press clippings, because of Thanksgiving, because of the family he mentioned, and you come out and you put a 30 burger up to start the game, which is pretty nice. But
30 burger.
But then, you know, does that count same as a 40 burger?
I love it. I'll take a 30 burger, supersize that bad boy for me.
Doubled up and give us 60 for the game is what I was hoping for. We didn't get a chance to see that, but I digress. But I do want to go back to about 3 minutes here of Tua talk, if you guys don't mind entertaining me. Seth, you mentioned 174 pass attempts without an interception. That's a Miami Dolphins record consecutive for Tua right now, going back to, I think, his last pick was the Bengals game.
And I don't want to hear anybody, whether you're tweeting or whatever, all this almost near intercepted should have been. I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. 174 without an interception.
Every single game, guys drop picks. It happens. And he also mentioned 8-0 in games finished. His career record's now 21-9. What's the last? Is it like the last 15 games? I think 14 wins out of 15 or something like that since Tua's been under center for the Dolphins. So it's going pretty well. But the thing I wanted to talk about was some subtleties in Tua's game that I think that maybe don't stand out is compared to the rest of the traits that we talk about every single week. And one of them, Juice, is the ball handling. There was a little RPO pop where the ball was in the belly of the running back, and before you could even like look up and determine what's going on from the press box or from the stands, whatever it might have been, he had that thing out and right into River Craycraft, go Cougs, into his breadbasket for a nice catch and run right there going down the field. There was a play, I think the first play of the game, Seth had mentioned it, like it's a reverse pivot where he fakes the handoff and comes all the way back around and finds that quick little glance route, and it's like, how did he even know to get there with his eyes his back to the defense, I should say. The ball handling, man, I'm really impressed by that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's super impressive, man. Footwork, ball handling, everything about it, man. And we talked about that probably was a lot of his problem, you know, leading up to this season. And I know they worked very, very hard on footwork and ball handling. And it's like magic out there a lot of times, bro. It really is, man. And you've got to be so disciplined as a defense. You know, from everything we do, from a shift to a motion to a play action one way and throwing back the other way. I saw him manipulate a linebacker today, something awful. You know what I mean? The guy, he had no chance. I couldn't remember who it was. But he was going one way, and then he zipped one behind him, you know, like, you know, and our guys are so good at that. But you're right, man. The handling's so fast, too. You might have a zoom motion guy, running back, and then, boom, ball's out. And still within a great amount of time, man. So it's special, and you can tell he works on it. Go back to the preseason when he's sitting out here by himself, working like everybody thought he looked like an idiot. Some people did. I thought it was outstanding that he's out there going through this mental game plans, these plays on his mind, and you know, and that's what he does. The same thing he was doing out there all by himself, the same thing we see every single week, you know, when the bullets are live, man. So kudos to him for working on that. But, you know, that's a lot of hard work. And that's putting in a lot of time, and a lot of people can't handle it that way.
It's a grind. Every single week you have to do it, and he's been doing it so far. And, you know, one other thing I thought was really cool about his game, actually a few things here before we go to break, was, you know, the four sacks, which all happened in quick succession there in the middle of the game, it seemed like, once Teron Armstead left the game. And I wonder how much of that has to do with, you know, the playbook kind of changing a little bit because, you know, it's – I mean, I don't think they're going to have the exact same play sheet in as they would when the game is 30-0 as they would in the opening part of the game. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Pass pro's the same.
Pass pro is the exact same. So, yeah, you still got to protect your quarterback, right? But I think that he does so much to kind of mitigate some potential pressures in there. And we even saw it in this game. There was the play down back up against their old goal line where he had to get around a couple of guys to start that drive, and he winds up getting a throwaway, right, which you're going to be happy about, a throwaway.
That's one of the best throws he's had.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't get yourself hurt, and also you avoid a negative play. The Smythe touchdown, he got out of pressure in that one and ran to some space and found Durham Smythe for a touchdown reception. I thought the Jeff Wilson touchdown run looked like he checked. All the guys had their hands go up to their helmets. Looks like a check to me. I don't know if it
could
is or
be.
Not. And it looked like they had Tyreek Hill man coverage on one side of the field. Motion him away. The guy follows, run the ball right there for easy touchdown for Jeff Wilson. Thought that was a cool sign. And then also, after that sack that made this entire place lose their minds for about 3 seconds when his leg kind of got caught up underneath him, the way he was able to get back to the huddle and run the clock play with 1 second left, I thought was really high-level stuff for Tua to just have that wherewithal, situational awareness, like, we got to get back on the ball, kill this thing, and get 3 points out of this at the end of the half.
Yeah, I didn't know he was gonna get there. It looked like
it was close.
It was sideline. It looked like I didn't know if he realized that's what he needed to do, and then he did. He figured it out, man, and got that done, man. But you know what? I mean, I was doing a sweet visit today to good people from, I could probably say it because it's Dolphin sponsored, Frito-Lay, and they were talking about Tua, you know, and getting hit. I said, man, you could never question the toughness of this guy.
Right.
You know, from his upbringing, from everything else, man, you could never question the toughness of this guy. You know, from what he's been through this year and people talking, whatever, you know.
Physical Tua, and mental.
Both. I mean, mental even coming into the season, of course, and the physical, his whole career has been both since he's been here. But I don't question it whatsoever, man. The guy has taken on the mental challenge with the offense and everything that he's got to learn. We just talked about that a little bit, the physical part of it, from what he went through early in the season. And today, bouncing up, bouncing back up, you know, first of all, getting our team, no matter what, you know, how we scored it, we still scored 30 points. And that's how you go out there as a leader and get your team in that position to get a little bit of time off. It's nice to have a little bit of time off like he got today. The toughness is unquestionable for Tua Tagovailoa, and especially the physical part of it. We've seen him take some hits. I wish he would take fewer. he made some really good decisions today, but some of it we couldn't help. Mm. When he got hit, he bounced back up.
And hopefully well-rested, like you mentioned, heading into a very important three-game trip, two to the West Coast and then back out to Buffalo for three games on the road. And Seth gave me a correction there mid-segment. 14-2 is Tua in his last 16 starts. So that's, an old-school schedule, a full season of games, 16 games, 14 wins out of those 16. Pretty nice. One more. We'll have the full 17 games next week in San Francisco. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. We just talked about the victorious Miami quarterback. Let's go ahead and throw it to the podium and hear from Tua Tagovailoa postgame.
There were conversations like, hey, like we might need you to come back in, you know, if they score again on this, because then it'll be a one-score game. So, yeah, I was prepared to come back in if needed to.
That sack you had late in the first half, you bent backwards. Everything came out clean from that.
Yeah, I'm sure tomorrow will feel a little different, but, felt good from that. I was just thinking, get up so we could clock it. Man, that was awesome to see from our defense. You know, the turnovers, the sacks, you know, just the big hits that they were making defensively. For me, I'm used to seeing that because in my first 2 years, you know, that's the type of defense we've had, a defense that would get interceptions and then would score, you know, and we'd come off with like five turnovers a game, you know, my first 2 years. So I'm used to seeing that, and it's always great to watch when we're able to also do some things really well offensively.
You took protected so well during the stretch. What were you seeing in the protection through that run where the Texans had a sack at the end of the first half and then also in the third quarter?
Yeah, well, I think with some of the plays that I told Mike I liked, I put some guys in some bad situations by doing so. And, like I said, that has a lot to do with kind of finding the rhythm of the game with, your guys, your players. So, I would say that one falls on me. But, yeah, we'll be better for it.
Two of the broadcasts said that last year you had some moments where you looked yourself in the mirror and had to ask, like, am I good?
Sure.
And that Mike showed you a 700-play highlight tape reminding you, yes, you are. Can you, I guess, describe from your perspective what that process was?
I thought it was cool. You know, I think anyone here can attest to someone believing in them. And how that changes how they see themselves, but also things around them. So perspective. But it was awesome. There's a lot of details that entail, me sitting down with him and other things as well. But it's awesome. It's really cool.
Was that the first step to being what you are today, this season? Was that affirmation from your head coach and all that?
Well, yeah, I think that could be a step, but at the end of the day, no matter how good your relationship is with someone, you still got to go out and play. You got to go play football, and that's with all of our guys. I could have a great relationship with our running backs. I can't, having a good relationship with you, I can't help you rush for 2,000 yards, or rush for however many yards you want to in the game. So we all got to be dialed into the details of what the offense entails. And, I would say that's just an add-on, the relationships we have with one another in the building, with each other, from coach to player to player, and, much more, in the building with everyone else.
Too early in the game, Jalen Waddle broke the record for most receiving yards for the first 2 years in a career for the Dolphins. What can you say about your college team?
Wow.
Yeah, your college and pro team. What can you say about that?
Never knew that. Congratulations to Jalen. That's news to me. I'm definitely going to go and beat him up about that. I don't know if he knows, too. So that'll be awesome to tell him. But well deserving for someone like him. Comes into work, works his ass off, has a lot of questions every time. And, if he doesn't get them answered, then he's not going to be in for that play. So a very detail-oriented person, and very happy for him. This is just the beginning. He's only in year two, and we got a lot more games to play.
Five wins in a row, 8-3, three big road games upcoming. Where's the season standing for you all, would you say, right now?
Well, we're enjoying our win right now, being 8-3. And, we'll come into work tomorrow, see what we need to get better with, and then we'll worry about the next team.
How do you keep on keeping that momentum going as far as
Well, I would say it's us just playing together as a team. I understand the question of that being an individual thing, but really I'm not able to have recognition or any of that without everyone doing their jobs, doing their assignments. And, if a team has success, that's what brings individual success for anyone on any team. So, if we were losing, I don't know if I would be getting the recognition I'm getting. I don't know if any of the guys on our team would be getting that recognition. It really is a team. So individual success is based off of the team success.
Question.
Your relationship with Trent Dilfer, when you look back at that, and I've had motivation from a trainer in my position.
Man, that's been a long time that I can remember because I was in high school when that happened. And then I think that happened through the summer. And then I had a season, you know, after that. And then I was deciding what college I was going to go to. So really hard for me to think of a lot of the things that Trent had told me and talked to me about. But, you know, he's a really great resource that I've been able to have in my corner. You know, someone that I'm able to call, talk to about whatever. And, you know, when I was coming out in the draft, he was definitely someone that, you know, kind of helped me prepare for the draft too.
So there's Tua Tagovailoa after the Dolphins' 30-15 victory over the Houston Texans. We're going to go ahead and take a break here and come back on the other side and react to the quarterback, really kind of showing some of the leadership there at the podium. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. And when you want to hear a press conference broken down, you got to go to the press conference consigliere. I
thought you were giving me a new name.
What's funny?
I thought that Paul Pierce there for a second.
Yeah, you know, a little behind the curtain.
To break
here,
out of You Can't Handle the Truth.
I was thinking about a different podcast I listened to. And I almost called you the name they used in that podcast. Glad that I was able to just say Truth, which is a non-starter. But we're going to go ahead and kick this off as awkward as we possibly can. We just heard from Tua. Let's go ahead and go to the press conference consigliere. Big Seth, what you got, man?
I was just going to say how that press conference was even strange to just go along with it being a strange day.
That's
to
why
feel
I did
the
it.
Way I feel after a big win like that. And then Travis just makes it even more strange. That's the truth. Woo! So, yeah, it was a little weird. It felt to me more like a midweek press conference than a post-game press conference. The Trent Dilfer question about something that he said in another interview. And it was just different. But what stands out to me is this is wise Tua. This is like, Tua sounds like an old wise man these days, not like a third-year player to me.
Right.
And it's really cool to see it. I think I've said it before in a few different post games where we're seeing this kid who's not a kid anymore maturing right before our eyes. Heck, I think the head coach said that at one point as well. And it's so true. He's so focused on team. He's focused on big picture. He's happy that the team is winning, but he understands that there's more to accomplish. And all of that stands out in these answers. It was really, and you raised an eyebrow for this one.
Following suit.
Yeah, I'm right there in it. So he's opened up by saying that there were conversations on the sideline late in the game.
Yep.
Hey, stay warm. We might need you here. If they score on this one, becomes a one-score game, we may need to send you back out there. So he was ready to go back out. I thought that was interesting. The defense reminded him of what he had seen from them in the first 2 years. Like, it was not a surprise because he's seen that his whole career that he's been here. But he did say, you know, he didn't say this directly, but he kind of alluded to the fact that this reminded him more of the defense that he was used to seeing. And truth be told, even last year, this defense came on in the second half of the season. And so look what they've done the last 2 weeks. I think that was pretty cool. He took the blame for the sacks. 4 sacks in 2 possessions, and he said, yeah, I'm putting that one on me. There were some plays I liked. I asked Mike to call him, probably put my guys in a bad place. I'm going to take the fall. I'm going to take the blame for that. Juice, that has to go a long way with his offensive line.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, honestly, because, I'm sitting there bitching and moaning about who missed that
right.
block, who did this, who did that. So now I know in the post game that it's Tua's fault.
It's Tua's fault.
It wasn't the player's fault, man. And I love that, man. It is going. Because, look, I'm going to tell you this. Let me just go back to what I know. You know, I played a couple games where 13 made a mistake. But you wouldn't know that on TV. You don't know that until you watch the film on Monday and 13's like, oh, my bad, dude. That was, like, where's the – why
Why are you giving that my bad, you know, on Sunday on TV?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love the fact that, you know, all the people that are driving home and whoever's doing the, you know, their tweets and everything about that is get to hear him, and even his teammates get to hear him say, look, that's my bad.
That's on me. Because how easy.
Because some guys might say it in private.
Yep.
They'll say it, like, they might go to the sideline. Nobody hears it.
Right.
Yeah, my bad, dog, my bad.
And maybe it's not his bad. You know,
well,
I don't know.
Could be. That's a good point, too.
All 22. There are certain quarterbacks in this league, and I'm not going to name names, but there are certain quarterbacks in this league who will get up there and tell you everything everybody did wrong.
Right.
And he put it on himself, which if it truly was on himself, I think, to your point, that's fantastic that he put it out there. Yeah. And if it wasn't his fault,
it's even bigger.
It's even bigger because – what did Coach McDaniel tell you about the psyche of an offensive lineman? How, you know, how they're just consistently ripped apart, and they're really only recognized when things go wrong, and just the nature of that position is you know, only your failures are pointed out, and all of these things, and most of the offensive linemen I've ever been around, Juice, and I don't, you know, occasionally you get those guys who like being in the limelight, but most of them just want to go to work with their lunch pail, go smash a few people in the mouth, go home, and not be recognized,
right.
And so when things don't go their way, the last thing they want is to see their leader on the ground, and he stands up there and says, hey, that's on me. I just thought that was a big deal, bigger than just the 30 seconds that it took for him to give that answer. They did ask him about the, you know, his comment about, you know, turning to somebody and said, hey, do I suck? Like, it started to rain down, all of this criticism, and, you know, maybe he was starting, his confidence was starting to waver. And Mike McDaniel, I guess, rolled out 700 plays, good
so
plays,
much.
You know, which is so cool on so many levels. But he said, yeah, you know, he did recognize, hey, everybody in this room can recognize the value of someone believing in them and that it does change your perspective. But then it was so good. You still got to go out and play football. Yeah. Like he told the guy, the poor guy who asked the question, I don't care how good our relationship is, I'm not going to be able to like you into rushing for 2,000 yards, right? You know, so I don't know who asked the question, right? But he's probably right. He's not going to be able to like them into rushing for 2,000 yards. And so, hey, we've all got great relationships on this football team, and there's no doubt that the relationship that Tua has with his head coach has been really special in the development here, but he still has to go out and make the plays.
Correct.
He still has to go out and make the plays, and he's doing that, and he's doing it at an elite level. And so I thought that was super cool, and I love that he pointed that out. Something else that was interesting to me was what he said about Jalen Waddle. He didn't know about the record being broken, thought that was pretty cool. I'm sure he's going to go rib Waddle. You know, that'll be a fun thing when those guys see each other. We know how fast Jalen Waddle is. We know how, you know, fast twitch he is. We know all the fun things, the great dance, all the stuff that we see. He's electric. But he said he's detail-oriented as well. He talked about how in meetings that if you can't answer certain questions, if you can't get those tests right, that you don't get an opportunity to play, and that he's always getting the answers right and that he's detail-oriented. I thought that was a neat, you know, just peek behind the curtain about a player that we know a lot about, but we didn't know that. So I thought that was really cool as well. That's what I got. Tua's a wise old man these days.
He
is. He's a dad. He's a dad now. It's just amazing how that happens. He's now a wise old man.
A wise old 24 years old. Not a bad place to be a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. Get an MVP chance and get to see your son and your wife on the field before the game. It's pretty cool stuff here for him. And, you know, you talk about that 700 plays that Mike showed him. First of all, I got to see those 700 plays. I'd love to go back and watch.
I know you would love that.
I would love that tape. But it reminds me of the
– That's a week full of podcasts. Yeah.
that's an off-season project right there. How many hours was the cut-ups that he brought with him from San Francisco? Like,
I don't know. It was a lot.
Like 900,000 or something?
Yeah, it was maybe 180,000. So
I don't know what it was. But that's what that reminded me of. First thing I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, this is what he does. He puts together these highlight clips, and he streamlines the process. And, man, everything we heard back in those March introduction press conferences, we're kind of seeing it here play out with the Miami Dolphins. So a lot of fun stuff there. We're going to go ahead and take a break here. Before we do that, though, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
We have a busy hour number two coming your way next. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn about all the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins postgame also is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. And when you want to hear a press conference broken down, you got to go to the press conference consigliere. I
thought you were giving me a new name.
Paul Pierce there for a second.
Yeah, you know, a little behind the curtain
here. You can't handle the truth.
I was thinking about a different podcast I listened to. I almost called you the name they use in that podcast. Glad that I was able to just say truth, which is a non-starter. But we're going to go ahead and kick this off as awkward as we possibly can. We just heard from Tua. Let's go ahead and go to the press conference consigliere. Big Seth, what you got, man?
I was just going to say how that press conference was even strange to just go along with it being a strange day.
That's why I did
the way
it.
After a big win like that. And then Travis just makes it even more strange. That's the truth. Woo! So, yeah, it was a little weird. It felt to me more like a midweek press conference than a post-game press conference. The Trent Dilfer question about something that he said in another interview. And it was just different. But what stands out to me is this is wise Tua. This is like Tua sounds like an old wise man these days, not like a third-year player to me.
Right.
And it's really cool to see it. I think I've said it before in a few different post games where we're seeing this kid who's not a kid anymore maturing right before our eyes. Heck, I think the head coach said that at one point as well. And it's so true. He's so focused on team. He's focused on big picture. He's happy that the team is winning, but he understands that there's more to accomplish. And all of that stands out in these answers. It was really, and you raised an eyebrow for this one.
Following suit.
I'm right there in it. So he's opened up by saying that there were conversations on the sideline late in the game.
Yep.
Hey, stay warm. We might need you here. If they score on this one, this becomes a one-score game. We may need to send you back out there. So he was ready to go back out. I thought that was interesting. The defense reminded him of what he had seen from them in the first 2 years. Like, it was not a surprise because he's seen that his whole career that he's been here. But he did say, you know, he didn't say this directly, but he kind of alluded to the fact that this reminded him more of the defense that he was used to seeing. And truth be told, even last year, this defense came on in the second half of the season. And so look what they've done the last 2 weeks. I think that was pretty cool. He took the blame for the sacks. Four sacks and two possessions, and he said, yeah, I'm putting that one on me. There were some plays I liked. I asked Mike to call them. Probably put my guys in a bad place. I'm going to take the fall. I'm going to take the blame for that. Juice, that has to go a long way with his offensive line.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, honestly, because, I'm sitting there bitching and moaning about who missed that
right.
block, who did this, who did that. So now I know in the post game that it's Tua's fault.
It's Tua's fault.
It wasn't the player's fault, man. And I love that, man. It is going. Because, look, I'm going to tell you this. Let me just go back to what I know. You know, I played a couple games where 13 made a mistake. But you wouldn't know that on TV. You don't know that until you watch the film on Monday and 13's like, oh, my bad, Juice. That was, like, why you giving me that my bad, on Sunday on TV? I love the fact that, all the people that are driving home and whoever's doing their tweets and everything about that is get to hear him and even his teammates get to hear him say, look, that's my bad.
That's on me. Because
some guys might say it in private.
Yep.
They'll say it, it might go to sideline. Nobody hears it.
Right.
Yeah, my bad, dog, my bad.
And maybe it's not his bad. I don't know.
Could be. That's a good point, too.
I got to hear from the All-22. There are certain quarterbacks in this league, and I'm not going to name names, but there are certain quarterbacks in this league who will get up there and tell you everything everybody did wrong.
Right.
And he put it on himself, which if it truly was on himself, I think, to your point, that's fantastic that he put it out there. Yeah. And if it wasn't his fault,
it's
even bigger because – what did Coach McDaniel tell you about the psyche of an offensive lineman? How they're just consistently ripped apart, and they're really only recognized when things go wrong, and just the nature of that position is only your failures are pointed out, and all of these things, and most of the offensive linemen I've ever been around, Juice, and I don't occasionally you get those guys who like being in the limelight, but most of them just want to go to work with their lunch pail, go smash a few people in the mouth, go home, and not be recognized,
right.
And so when when things don't go their way, the last thing they want is to see their leader on the ground, and he stands up there and says, hey, that's on me. I just thought that was a big deal, bigger than just the 30 seconds that it took for him to give that answer. They did ask him about the, you know, his comment about, you know, turning to somebody and said, hey, do I suck? Like, it started to rain down, all of this criticism, and, you know, maybe he was starting, his confidence was starting to waver. And Mike McDaniel, I guess, rolled out 700 plays, good
so
plays,
much.
You know, which is so cool on so many levels. But he said, yeah, you know, he did recognize, hey, everybody in this room can recognize the value of someone believing in them and that it does change your perspective. But then it was so good. You still got to go out and play football. Like he told the poor guy who asked the question, I don't care how good our relationship is, I'm not going to be able to like you into rushing for 2,000 yards, right? You know, so I don't know who asked the question, right? But he's probably right. He's not going to be able to like them into rushing for 2,000 yards. And so, hey, we've all got great relationships on this football team, and there's no doubt that the relationship that Tua has with his head coach has been really special in the development here, but he still has to go out and make the plays.
Correct.
He still has to go out and make the plays, and he's doing that, and he's doing it at an elite level. And so I thought that was super cool, and I love that he pointed that out. Something else that was interesting to me was what he said about Jalen Waddle. He didn't know about the record being broken, thought that was pretty cool. I'm sure he's going to go rib Waddle. You know, that'll be a fun thing when those guys see each other. We know how fast Jalen Waddle is. We know how, you know, fast twitch he is. We know all the fun things, the great dance, all the stuff that we see. He's electric. But he said he's detail-oriented as well. He talked about how in meetings that if you can't answer certain questions, if you can't get those tests right, that you don't get an opportunity to play, and that he's always getting the answers right and that he's detail-oriented. I thought that was a neat, you know, just peek behind the curtain about a player that we know a lot about, but we didn't know that. So I thought that was really cool as well. That's what I got. Tua's a wise old man these days.
He is.
He's a dad. He's a dad now. It's just amazing how that happens. He's now a wise old man.
A wise old 24 years old. Not a bad place to be a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. Get an MVP chance and get to see your son and your wife on the field before the game. It's pretty cool stuff here for him. And, you know, you talk about that 700 plays that Mike showed him. First of all, I got to see those 700 plays. I'd love to go back and watch.
I know you would love that.
Yeah, you know I would love that tape. But it reminds me of the
– a week full of podcasts.
that's an off-season project right there. How many hours was the cut-ups that he brought with him from San Francisco?
Like, I don't know. It was a lot.
Like 900,000 or something?
Yeah, it was maybe 180,000.
I don't know what it was. But that's what that reminded me of. First thing I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, this is what he does. He puts together these highlight clips, and he streamlines the process. And, man, everything we heard back in those March introduction press conferences, we're kind of seeing it here play out with the Miami Dolphins. So a lot of fun stuff there. We're going to go ahead and take a break here. Before we do that, though, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds while our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
We have a busy hour number two coming your way next. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn about all the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins postgame also is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.